Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning, Father.
As you know, I'm a fan of science fiction, and so I want you to imagine with me if we had the ability to travel in time. So imagine if we could travel back in time 4,000 years. Now, with the knowledge that we possess today, even just some rudimentary knowledge about science, maybe metallurgy, medicine, just some basic stuff. If you went back 4,000 years, would they believe you? They'd think you were magical if you could do any of the basic things that you could do. They think you were some type of witch doctor. And even if you just tried to explain to them that these things were possible without showing them, there's no way they would believe you. They'd assume you were insane. It was a totally different world back then. People had basically stone tools. There was little to no hygiene. We take for granted so much of the basic scientific knowledge and medical knowledge that we have. Now, you and I, we did none of the work to gain that knowledge. None of it. We're just benefiting from all of the scientists and doctors and I don't know, what do you call people who work on technology? Whatever. You know, those individuals who have gained this knowledge and these skills, and we're able to purchase those benefits and take advantage of those benefits. Again, we have a rudimentary knowledge of it. We don't really understand it intricately. That's why we go to the doctor when we're sick. We can't diagnose ourselves. That's why we take our car to the mechanic when it's broken, because we don't necessarily know how to fix it ourselves. But we have this advantage, and it benefits our life greatly. So if we had to live 4,000 years ago, one, we would not have all of those advantages, and the little things that we could improve upon would amaze the people around us, absolutely amaze them. We would be gods among men. Now, why is this a good example? Why is this something that is important to reflect upon? Because for all intents and purposes, this is what the Catholic Church is in every age. It is advanced beyond any culture, beyond any people. Its knowledge is not just future knowledge, as if it traveled back in time. It's knowledge that comes from eternity, from outside of time itself. Because God has deigned to send his word into the world and to reveal the truth to us. And we who have this word, Jesus Christ incarnate, not only the written word, the Holy Scriptures, but the sacraments themselves, the living life of the body of Christ, we who have this word possess a knowledge, information, and access to benefits that no one else has. And that doesn't actually make sense to the rest of the world. Doesn't make sense to them at all. The church, possessing such knowledge, is able to give us moral teachings, definitive answers about human nature and destiny, and what is good and what is evil, and particular choices that we make that you and I could never figure out on our own. She's got this knowledge that was given to her by God, the Creator. So we can be tempted, because of our worldliness, because we are coming from this culture, or these cultures, we can be tempted to question her knowledge, to question her moral teachings, her explanation of things. That's one of the challenges that we have. So is it surprising that the pagans, that the rest of the world, simply rejects her teachings and her practices? Should not be surprised at all. In fact, most seemingly rational people think Catholic teachings are crazy. It's the same thing as if you went back 4,000 years and were just trying to explain all these possible advancements that people can make. They just think you were crazy. It's incomprehensible to them at that time. Jesus, in the gospel today, speaks about scattering the seed. You know, he is the sower, and the seed is the truth, himself ultimately, the Word of God. And he scatters it, and he's hoping it bears fruit in our lives. But there are three problems that get in the way. There's the soil that's packed like a path, there's the rocky soil, and then there's the soil that has thorns and thistles in it. When he explains these three problems, the first, he says, is basically, we're the soil, and so here he is trying to give us his truth, his word that can give us life and fruit and happiness and peace. But if we are hard of heart, what happens? Satan comes and picks off the word, the seed. It just picks it off right from the surface, because if the ground is packed too hard, the seed can never penetrate. Water doesn't soften it, it just runs off. And so that's what Satan does. He just comes and takes the word from your heart when you have a hard heart, out of pride, out of resentment, whatever it is. The second is the rocky ground. And this is the person, the Christian, right, who receives the word. Again, we're not talking about the pagan who completely rejects the word of God. We're talking about Christians here. So the rocky ground is the Christian who receives the word, but they're shallow. They got a lot of rocks in them, and what does this mean? They haven't tilled the soil of their life. They haven't done enough penance, and so they're weak. Jesus says whenever a persecution comes, they give up. I can't do this. It's too hard. Whenever you have to suffer for the word of God, for the truth, and you give it up, you're the rocky ground. And so the fruit dies in you. It can't grow because the roots can't take hold in this rocky soil. There's no discipline. There's no perseverance. And the last type, which is actually more often the Christian failing, is the soil with the thorns and the thistles. The thorns and the thistles. Jesus says that these are Christians who are so concerned with worldly anxieties and the obtaining of riches that the word of God, as it takes root and grows, are choked by these thorns, and it never bears fruit. Now, in this day and age especially, how many of you don't, but how many of you could raise your hand and say that you're often filled with anxieties and fears? You know, we look at this culture, both in the church, the problems that we have, and certainly in politics and in society in general. And it causes such anxiety. And that anxiety can come from spiritual fears, from religious fears, or economic fears, which is the whole wealth issue. And all that does is choke the word of God in you. And the Lord says, where is your trust? Where is your faith? Do you believe that I'm God or not? That's really what it comes down to. If he is God, then why need we fear any earthly concern? Remember St. Paul's words from his letter to the Romans today. He said, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. He wasn't anxious at all about worldly concerns. He had to deal with them, of course. But his focus was in God, in his faith, in the Word, in the sacraments. So often, the world from which we come draws us back, draws our focus, draws our attentions. And the Lord is crying out to us, don't pay attention to the world. It does you no good. Focus on me. Listen to my voice, not to the voice of the world. And this isn't easy to do because we're weak. But this is the challenge as Christians. Our job is not to change the world. Jesus places on none of you the moral obligation to convert the world, to change society, to fix the problems of this culture. It's not your problem. He'll do that. He will take care of it His way. What He expects of us is to receive the word as fertile soil so that it can take root and bear fruit in us. And if that happens, then what happens to those around us in the world? They'll see something different. They'll say, what's so different about this individual? What sets them apart from the rest of us? And then they'll come to you and they'll ask, why are you so loving, so patient, so kind in the midst of such suffering? What's different about you? And then you can share with them this special knowledge that you have, the word that you received. And maybe they will come to accept it as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.